That's music from Nina Hagen and Lena Lovitch with a song called Don't Kill the Animals from an album titled Tame Yourself, released a number of years ago to benefit people for the ethical treatment of animals, PETA. And not coincidentally, our guest today is Dan Matthews, one of PETA's top dogs, as it were. More on that in a moment, but let me tell you first that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Ordinarily, you could reach us by phone at this very moment at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, but the show today is pre-recorded. It's definitely ain't live, it's Memrex. I'm out of town and away from the KUCI studios at the moment, but with any luck, I'll be back live next week. Meanwhile, I hope you'll keep in touch by emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our terrific new website, talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks, .net. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been, about 5 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been extremely fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks, Sherry Hackett, wife of the late Buddy Hackett, both longtime animal lovers who worked tirelessly on behalf of animals in all kinds of ways, and shared a vision for a new cage-free, no-kill sanctuary in the Los Angeles area that they hope to launch called Singita. We also had a conversation with Corrine Cutler of Bunny Love, a wonderful rabbit welfare organization that recently moved into brand new, larger digs. Also recently, we spoke with Janie Thompson from Friends of Abaco for Animals, an organization based in the Bahamas that tends to all kinds of animals, including feeding more than 100 cats a day, and does virtually all those tasks by boat, among other really singular challenges. Last week, we spoke with Ian Anderson, the singer-songwriter flute player behind Jethro Tull, and something of an animal expert and advocate, giving us his views on a wide array of animal-oriented topics and issues. And our string of great guests continues today when we speak with Dan Matthews, who's the Vice President of Communications at PETA, and not coincidentally, the chief strategist behind all the high-profile campaigns that he's so well-known for. He also grew up in Orange County and first became an animal activist as a teenager right here in the land of KUCI. So we'll hear all about that and more when Dan joins us in just a few moments. So meanwhile, though, on Talking Animals, it's time for a weekly look at items of interest in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, or international, in some cases, animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, typically at least, to get your comments on. Again, today we can't take your calls live, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll be able to do that as soon as next week. And we also always try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. And, of course, if there are ever news stories or announcements of events that you'd like to bring to our attention and include in the segment of Talking Animals, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And we'd similarly love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email, again, is talkinganimals@AOL.com. And I'm extremely excited to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the new Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net, folks. Once again, .net, folks. Where you'll find archives of the shows, synopsis of the synopses, I guess you would pronounce it, of the shows. So all the guests we had from the very beginning, and all the music we played in each show, the comedy corner segment for each show, are all found in our archive synopses, easy for you to say, synopses, there you go, okay, cool, section. But there's also assorted photographs and text, including an essay on circus animals, all kinds of links, other audio pieces, and more. So please, when you have a moment, take a look around. Come visit us. It's talkinganimals.net. Meanwhile, let's talk turkey, as it were. And I want to start off, as I do just about every week here on Talking Animals, in this new segment, talking about Tiger Rescue in Colton, California. That's sort of out by San Bernardino and Ontario, kind of in broad strokes. And it's been in the news off and on for a few months now, really, in that it's a sanctuary, which couldn't be more in big, fabulous, phony quotes. Basically, it is a facility, and it was supposed to be a retirement home of sorts for tigers and other big cats that used to work in TV and film. And some other animals as well. And unfortunately, the place was really, really neglected over, I guess, many years' time. And not unrelated to that, the animals themselves were really neglected. So, to the extent where the proprietor is now up on very, very serious criminal charges, quite a string of charges at that. But while a few animals have been fortunate enough to be moved elsewhere, the vast bulk of them are still there. And that's primarily that, while there are some actual, real, legitimate, genuine, fine sanctuaries, as opposed to Tiger Rescue and what it was pretending to be, who have said they're quite willing to take, you know, some cats and other animals. The main thing when it comes to tigers and the other big cats is that they need enclosures. Even if they have the space, they definitely need to have enclosures. And most of the facilities don't yet. So they're raising money, they're building those, they're getting money to raise, raising money to build those. But meanwhile, many, many, many of the cats are still out there at Tiger Rescue in Colton. So this very cool guy, amazing guy named Chuck Tracy, who otherwise runs the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, California, down by San Diego, has stepped up in the most heroic sense possible, and some months ago has kind of stepped over to the Tiger Rescue facility and is sort of doing the day-to-day operation. He's kind of left behind his own facility, his wife, his own animals, etc., to look after the Tiger Rescue facility in the interim. And otherwise, everything is done by an ongoing rotating battalion of volunteers who drive from San Diego and beyond and that side of the Southland and Ventura and beyond on that side and all kinds of points in between. And basically what you do is you go out and you help these animals. You help clean their enclosures. You water down their enclosures, they water down their water bowls and their tanks. Of course, a lot of these tigers love water, so you actually get to hose them down in some cases, especially on some of the hotter days. And then you help feed them, and anything else really that can and needs to be done to make their life a bit better than it has been in the past. So they've come a long way, they've put on some weight, they're healthier. And it's a really cool experience. It's a great day. If you can carve out the better part of a day on a weekend, of course, that's fabulous. If you're able to spring loose somehow for a good part of a weekday, that's even better. They obviously have a little tougher time getting volunteers out there on weekdays. So it's really, really cool work. I can guarantee you'll have an amazing, exhilarating experience. And so if you think you could do that, email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we will hook you up with the folks that kind of coordinate the volunteer schedule, etc. And meanwhile, also on the sort of animal rescue bent, there's a site that I've been aware of for a little while now, and I mentioned it the last several weeks, really, called the Animal Rescue Site, and it's at www.theanimalrescuesite, all one word, S-I-T-E, by the way, of course, .com. And basically, when you go there, if you then click on Feed an Animal in Need, this releases funds for food and other rescue efforts for a number of organizations and facilities. And basically, it's the idea behind this is there's corporate sponsors and advertisers who place their info on the site, and so if people make a daily visit to click on Feed the Animal, they're, of course, I guess, being exposed to these corporate sponsors and their advertising. I haven't seen a downside. I haven't heard of a catch. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong, onerous, whatever, about this. If you happen to find out otherwise, I urge you to please let me know as soon as possible at talkinganimals@AOL.com. But otherwise, this seems like a cool setup. So, again, you can go every day and click, and that releases funds every day and eats for these animals. So, what's not to like there? Otherwise, too, in the wake of the fire disasters, throughout Southern California, of course, a lot of animals have been affected by that. So, I'm sure there's plenty of others that I haven't become aware of yet, but a couple efforts that I am aware of now involve these people, Shannon Keith and Stacy Howard, who formed the Fire Disaster Relief Drive for the animals, and they're gathering donations for the thousands of animals who have been and are being victimized by the fires. Most of those, certainly by the time you hear this, will have been, I think, contained, and maybe the worst will be behind us. But in the meantime, donations are really, really urgently needed of money, blankets, dog food, cat food, treats and toys, hay, horse and farm animal supplies, pillows, anything else you can give. So, and they will, if you're concerned about those things getting to the proper, allocated properly, etc., they will show you stuff. They'll give you receipts. They'll give you paperwork. They just want to help these animals. And of course, they're also looking for volunteers to help with these efforts. So, in any way that you're interested, if you can help, if you want to help, whatever, you can. There's two different email addresses here. It's Shannon Keith, and that email address is animallib.lawyer, all one word, at AOL.com. And Stacy Howard, and that's S-T-A-C-I, Howard, all one word, at AOL.com. So they're trying to do good work by the animals that have been affected in all kinds of ways by the fires, so try to help them help these animals if you can. So meanwhile, I think that's going to do it for today's edition of the Talking Animals Animal News segment. So I think what we should do is step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. How's that sound to you? Okay, and of course, with always, as always, I should say, it's with a piece of animal-oriented stand-up. This is Bill Cosby with a piece called Froofy the Dog. I'm Talking Animals on KUCI.
We got one TV set in this house that I'm in. One TV set. That's all my wife would allow. One TV set. She said, everybody will watch that one set. I said, okay, that's a wonderful thing. We will get rid of the 11 other sets. No, I had TV set everywhere, in the toilet, every place, man. I just watched games and everything, you know. But now we have one set, you have to go all the way down to to the basement to watch it. Now, I'm gonna show you how you can be intimidated by a child and the way they play the game. I'm watching Gunsmoke and enjoying it. Marshall Dillon, I'll rip your nose off if you try to lay it. Because they don't shoot, you know. It's, I'll tear your liver out. Erica, the 7-year-old, comes up and says, they don't start with a word. It's always, then they start tapping. See, now, tapping, you know, after you've been a parent for a while, you know, on the first tap, you say, yes, dear, what is it? See, but if you're a new parent, you just let them tap. See, but the kid don't even worry about that because they know how old you are and they know how old they are and they know they're going to live longer than you. So they just keep tapping, man. And finally, you say, what is it? And they say, could I watch Froofy the Dog? No, I'm watching Gunsmoke. Now that's enough. The father has spoken. No, I'm watching Gunsmoke. Now, to a grown-up, to a dog, to a German Shepherd coming up, could I watch Foofy the dog? No, I'm watching Gunsmoke. The dog would say, okay, all right. But not a seven-year-old human being. Well, how long is this going to be on?
Until 7:30.
Well, that's the same time that Froofy the dog goes off.
Tough.
I was it. Now I find myself arguing with somebody that I should just be able to say, get out of here. I am the father. See, I have shown my credentials now. I'm your father. Here. See this? I brought you into the world. I have a job. I pay for your clothing. If I just let you run out, you'd be a wild woman chasing cars, biting tires. Now go on, Erica. Get out of here. I'm watching Gunsmoke. But Aaron and I wanted to watch our Froofy the dog. You're not watching Froofy the dog because he's dead. Now, go play. Go bite your brother or something. Now, Slicko, man, I think it's all over. She goes to her mother. This is called playing one against the other. They learn this automatically. They don't go to school. There's no class for this. Automatically, there's somebody behind them.
Go talk to Mom.
Mother. Now, my wife is cooking. She don't want to be bothered. And that's good timing. Always grab the parent when they're busy doing something. They'll say yes for anything. Especially if they're cooking a cake or something like that. Something's got time. Erica, what is it? I don't have time.
Daddy won't let us watch our Froofy the dog.
Well, if Daddy's watching something, then he must watch what he wants to watch. There it is. Plus factor for me. But he wanted Aaron and me to watch the Gunsmoke, and the men on Gunsmoke are drowning some little baby kittens. Now I'm watching through the door.
All right, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 80.9 FM. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Bill Cosby with a piece, pretty obviously called Froofy the Dog, taken from his album At His Best. Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals, maybe even a signature feature of Talking Animals, if we're not overreaching there. If you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner, we'd really, really welcome this input. It's it's fun to try to track these down, but I'm sure you folks are aware of others that I'm not, and it's always fun to find new animal-oriented pieces of comedy, especially that are broadcast ready, if you know what I mean. So by all means, let us know any faves that you have, new, old. Whatever, and just send those off to us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And, of course, as many of you know, we stream live on the Internet at www.kzi.org. Some of you are, in fact, listening to us by way of that very website. But it's, as you know then, it's a really, really cool website with a schedule of all the programming. It tracks tracks throughout the day who's on at any given moment. And then, of course, you can look at the schedule in a different way and just see everything through the whole week. So, Anyway, there's exciting radio drama going on in the background if you're wondering what all the ruckus is about. But anyway, there's also CD reviews, a list of upcoming bands that are playing live on the station, special guests on some of the other talk shows and public affairs programming. And that's all found at KCI.org. So and while we're talking about nifty websites, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our new website. Not so new anymore, but you know, worth touting, I guess. Can't really shut me up about it either way, so let's just roll with it, shall we? All right, cool. It's www.talkinganimals.net. So that's the place we'd like you to go when you have a chance as well. So I need to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Dan Matthews, the Vice President of Communication at People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, more casually and succinctly known as PETA. And in that role, he's, among other things, the chief strategist behind PETA's high-profile and often controversial campaigns. He's also an Orange County native who began his work as an animal activist locally. And in fact, goes way back with KUCI, as he'll mention. So let's hear all about that and much, much more in this interview recorded several days ago. It's Dan Matthews on Talking Animals here on KUCI. Joining us today on Talking Animals is Dan Matthews, Vice President of Communications at PETA. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. I absolutely want to get into what that means, being the Vice President of Communications at PETA, and you know, what else has been going on at PETA and what's ahead. But I thought it might also be useful first just to provide a little context by stepping back for some history, starting with the fact that, if I'm not mistaken, you grew up in Orange County, did you not?
Yes, I did. I did. I grew up there in the late 70s, moved away in the early 80s after I got out of high school. But the first group I was ever involved in was Society Against Vivisection, which was based in Costa Mesa, and my first animal activism happened all around in Orange County.
And can you kind of just sort of walk us through those years? I mean, what did some, was there some sort of like pivotal, you know, incident that you saw that made you sort of jump in that even that early on and get involved? Or?
Well, I used to go fishing with my dad down at the Newport Pier and down at other places. And
okay.
I think it was certainly that made me think about it. Fish are the only animals that I ever killed, and so it was the first link that I could make back to the whole idea that there's no reason to be mean to any animal. And I know that fishing is a habit that most people just, you know, don't even think about when they're doing it, about the fact that it's cruel. But you know, I think when you take a look at the fact of how peaceful the undersea world is, and then this hook goes sinking in it, it's just, you know, there's other ways to enjoy the ocean. There's other
sure.
ways to enjoy the sea rather than killing its inhabitants.
But it sounds like, if I follow you, that there might have been a few times that you'd gone fishing with the family or whatever, but what happened? Or was there just one day where you thought, holy cow, I've sort of been missing, you know?
Well, it was around the punk rock times, and I was one of the early ones back then, and I used to get beat up in school for it, and I used to get also beat
up
because I was gay.
For being a punk rocker, you got beat up? Is that
oh, yeah. The first wave was pretty hellish.
Okay, just because you were so
yeah,
out
they
of the
just
norm.
Thought that,
yeah.
you know, it was this freak from outer space that
okay.
had landed.
Right.
And I used to get beat up because I was different. And
okay.
Not long, one time somebody slugged me in the stomach, and I went, you know, I ended up on the ground, and I was gasping for breath, and everybody just stood around laughing. And it was not too long after that I was fishing with my dad, and I hooked a big flounder, and I got him in on the boat, and everybody laughed because it was such a big, ugly fish, and somebody stomped on him and pulled the hook out of his mouth, and he was bleeding and just gasping for breath and looking up, and there's just this crowd of people laughing around him, and I thought, you know what? I know what that flounder's going through, and that's about the only living creature I can relate to on this boat. And so
wow.
I suddenly realized that now I was the bully, and that was pretty pathetic, and so I stopped fishing, and I stopped eating fish, and then I learned more about what happened to other animals that I didn't have any contact with, like chickens who have their beaks burned off when they're born on factory farms, or what happens to other animals, pigs and cows. And I just one by one stopped, eliminated all of them from my diet, and at the same time also lost about 30 pounds that I never gained back.
Wow, not coincidentally. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But so it sounds like, actually, just backing up for a sec on the fishing thing, it sounds like sort of a pretty cool but sort of precocious link that you made between hey, I'm the little guy, you know, getting roughed up at school for, you know, various reasons. And now I'm roughing up this little fish. But, I mean, you know, so many people, I think, even that might have had rough high school years wouldn't have made that link. You know?
I think it was the idea that people standing around laughing at something, mm-hmm. at something that's in pain.
Yeah.
And I think because it was, you know, happening to me, you know, it sort of used to be a sport. And it is now still a sport in schools to pick on people who are different for
of
whatever
course.
Reason. Whether
yeah.
they're gay or they are, you know, are just... happen to be the only black kid in school or happen,
sure.
you know, whoever. And so
yeah.
There's sort of a gang mentality that kids go through, and I think maybe the ones that are the most sensitive can put these things together and then sort of move on and not leave such a traumatic wake behind them.
Sure, but it sounds like this really, speaking of wake, really sort of like propelled you in a way into very early animal activism.
Definitely, definitely.
Cool. And then, if I'm not mistaken, you really, from there, I guess, you know, you were doing these things you mentioned earlier, the early group in Costa Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
So even before, like, you left Orange County, you left high school, it sounds like you were involved in...
Oh, yeah. And we there was a laboratory in Anaheim that used did experiments on sheep. There was, I remember one of the earliest protests I went to, there was the premiere of the movie Conan the Barbarian, which used tripwire to trip the horses, yeah, things were a little bit more rustic
yeah.
back then, and even good old Arnie.
yeah,
was
our beloved then. Governor now. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, there it's just you learn about one thing, then you learn about another, and it's
yeah.
sort of. I think I was lucky that I got involved when I was relatively young because I hadn't made so many lifelong habits that a lot of people have, and I wasn't so tied to the things that I was eating and the things that I was wearing, and so it was quite easy for me to see this.
Sure.
Hideous parade of blood in the meat trade and in the fur trade or in the leather industry and make my decisions to not have anything to do with supporting that. And that's one of the reasons PETA's campaigns are geared toward young people, because I think a lot of young people certainly have a great sense of justice and they can recognize cruelty despite the fact that it's deep fried and says McNuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They ask questions and they when they have their questions answered, they will make those changes themselves. So that's why a lot of our campaigns are geared toward them. It's even like now with our Kentucky Fried Chicken campaign, when people learn that chickens are live scalded to be defeathered, they start to lose their appetite for drumsticks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, no doubt. And also, you said something a moment ago, too, that I'm sure directly ties into aiming at younger folks, is that, you know, if they haven't developed certain habits, you know, if you're in your teens or even younger, whatever, about what you eat, what you do, what you wear, then it seems like if you get to them and get that message to them sooner, then you can shape that without having to undo.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty basic message. I mean, our basic message is that it's easy to live without killing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these things, especially meat that people eat, is really harmful to them. So you're helping not only the animals but your own self. The obesity rate is four times what it was in the 80s when I was growing up. Now everybody's just got this, they're eating, you know, at breakfast, they're eating in mid-morning, they're constantly shoving these things in their mouth, much of which is animal stuff that makes them fat.
Mm-hmm.
When you go vegetarian, vegetarians are much slimmer than their meat-eating counterparts, and it's just, it's a great option when you want to avoid the obesity epidemic
sure.
as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of virtues to it beyond even the direct ones that you're seeking probably in terms of... you know, just being kinder to animals. There's all kinds of, you know, perks, I guess you could even call them.
But, it used to be harder, but now it's getting easier. There's so many, I mean, Burger King has a veggie burger now. There's all sorts of, you know, five kinds of veggie dogs, veggie burgers, fake
sure.
chicken patties. And, you know, there is nothing like that flesh-ripping sensation, and I think people miss that sometimes when they stop eating meat. But now there's so many great products that replace it that you can still feel like you're chewing on flesh, and it even tastes good.
You can
fool
yourself if you need
it.
To. Right, yeah, for sure. So I guess then just to sort of keep a bit of a little timeline here, so it sounds like then from there it was sort of natural, if I'm not mistaken, that you kind of started at PETA pretty much right out of college.
Yeah.
Was it not? Yeah.
In 1985, yeah, about 18 years ago.
Wow. And what did you do kind of initially there, given you had already had quite a bit of, you know, experience, I'm sure, relative to other people just sort of stepping in from college?
Well, my first job was answering phones and answering letters.
Mm-hmm.
We would get a bag of mail every day and get a lot of calls from people who wanted to know how to get involved and have different questions about different animal issues. And so I was basically just information person,
and sure.
as well as receptionist.
Right.
And then we started to get bigger, basically I've always just been one of the hellraisers, and
mm-hmm.
that's what I still am today. You know, come up with different campaign ideas, but also participate in protests, get different celebrities to help attract attention to the issues.
Sure, and I guess back fairly early on, was that not long after you got there and were sort of answering phones and providing information, was that around the time, not long after, that you somehow persuaded Nina Hagen to...
Yeah, and it's funny because, Nina Hagen wrote a song called Don't Kill the Animals,
mm-hmm.
which she did as a duet with Lena Lovitch, and it came out in the late 80s, and I actually remember driving to the KUCI studios with Nina Hagen to do a
really?
Whole show about it.
Yeah. Wow, cool. Well, it
back
all
in,
hooks
like,
in.
1986 or 87, something like that.
Great. And not just for KUCI purposes, but just generally, you sort of view that as any kind of pivotal development? Because it seems like, you know, the Nina Hagen thing sort of represented, I guess, it seems, kind of yours or PETA's recognition of the value of tapping someone kind of higher profile or a celebrity of some kind to help.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, once upon a time there were five TV stations and everybody would watch one news channel or another and people
mm-hmm.
were pretty well educated about what was going on in the world. But then cable came along and then, of course, the internet came along and there's a lot of competition for people's attention. And on top of that, most people don't want to be educated about something that's serious or that's upsetting.
Sure.
People want to be entertained. There's
right.
now a million different entertainment shows. And so we just realized that we would be invisible if we just kept going with a serious message all the time because people weren't listening to things that were serious.
Mm-hmm.
So getting Nina Hagen to write a song about it that was played in nightclubs allowed us to get the message out in clubs. That Don't Kill the Animal song was a great hit in clubs, and doing the radio shows all around the country and around Europe to promote the whole topic really opened a whole new door for us.
Sure.
And from that sprung other celebrity projects, including the whole Rather Go Naked Than Wear Fur campaign with people like Pamela Anderson and
mm-hmm.
Kim Basinger and others who got on board to sort of use the sensational tabloid tactics to get animal issues in public discussion.
And those are largely your doing, are they not?
I suppose so. Yeah, I've always been a bit of a pop culture junkie.
Sure. But I mean, you also probably realized fairly early on, I'm guessing, that you had like a real knack for these campaigns and actions that grabbed attention and headlines, kind of. And
I suppose so. I mean, I'm a person who likes to be entertained myself, so it was
sure.
sort of a natural match. And I guess from the practical side of it, we're a charity. We don't really have much of an ad budget to speak of. So if we can do a photo shoot for an ad that Entertainment Tonight and MTV can cover and that all the newspapers want to run stories about, well, you just saved $1 million.
Yeah, it's more
and you got the
exposure.
Message out everywhere.
Sure, sure. And along those lines, I guess I would be remiss in not asking at some point, when along this path were you first arrested, and what were the circumstances of arrest number one?
What was my first arrest?
I know that. That's.
I think it was when there was a American Psychological Association convention, and they were giving the Psychologist of the Year award to a man who electrocuted rats' testicles and drilled holes in cats' cheeks in different psychology studies. And
yes.
So, some other PETA folks and I went into the convention, and as he was taking the podium to receive his award, we took the podium as well and gave him the award of Animal Abuser of the Year and described his experiments to people. And I think that was one of my first arrests.
Wow. And when was that, would you say? Do you even know like how many years
probably
ago that would have been?
Probably 20 years ago.
Wow. Okay. So you probably, even more ridiculous, any idea how many arrests since then? I mean, any total?
Probably about 25 arrests.
Wow.
At least a few dozen.
Yeah. And back to again, just sort of the campaigns and using celebrities, is it really, as you say, kind of not only making it less serious so people would pay attention, just, you know, John and Jane Q, viewer, reader, whatever, but also does it sort of dovetail with just kind of hooking into the culture's sort of, you know, growing fascination with celebrity? I mean, it seems like...
Yeah, I mean, really, we used to be a much more serious organization, and we still have our serious side, and the backbone of everything we do is still the cruelty investigations, documenting how animals are electrocuted on fur farms and as well as what happens in laboratories and in circuses, how elephants are shackled and beaten and forced to perform ridiculous tricks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the backbone of everything we do, but
sure.
to draw attention to it, we've had to get celebrities involved just because otherwise you just can't compete. you know, back 20 years ago, 2020 used to do an hour-long episode about the fur issue. Now they're doing an hour-long episode about Whitney Houston's drug problem. So you just have to lower the bar a little bit
to get people's attention. Yeah. And do you think, you know, that even with making those adjustments, that Peta's strategies and tactics continue to be as effective or even more
probably
effective?
Probably more effective. Yeah. More effective because we're reaching more people. And, you know, animal rights is much more of a consumer movement than a political movement. It's all about things that you wear and things that you buy and things that you choose not to buy. And it's people's changing habits, which, you know, we've been a good deal behind, that forced people like Burger King to now offer veggie burgers. And we were able to force McDonald's to stop buying meat from slaughterhouses that fail inspection. And like I say, we're now on KFC to make a lot of changes.
Sure.
And so I think that, yeah, that it's the more people that know about these things, and, you know, our website, PETA.org, is an award-winning website that people go to from all over the world to get information on any different animal issue. And I think that's the basic thing. It's just getting the message out, getting people aware. I think people's compassionate side, you know, will win out over their greedy side once they have the information. It's just half the battle is getting the information to them.
Sure. And how would you, with that in mind, kind of assess PETA's place in the public eye? I mean, just, I don't know if there's any sort of informal or other kind of checks and balances that you guys have where, you know, if a certain sort of campaign or tactic or strategy, we're going to gain, you know, some people or some attention, but we may lose or turn off some folks or alienate some folks. I mean, is that part of what?
Yeah, we're a pressure group, and any pressure group that wants to win the popularity contest is going to lose. So
sure.
We don't mind that many people find us too radical, that we go too far, because at least they're talking about things.
Mm-hmm.
And behind us, there's a load of other animal groups who are much less controversial, who people can go and support if they feel like that we go too far. But our role is to put things on the public agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask nicely, nobody listens. Sometimes you have to crash cymbals to get people's attention. So
sure.
We'll do crazy things like take our clothes off or get celebrities to do things to call attention to different issues. And that's fine. I mean, even a recent example is the whole Siegfried and Roy tragedy, when the tiger attacked Roy. Well, it's a tragedy, and of course we wish him well, but there's also the fact that these animals don't belong on a bright, pounding stage.
Right.
And
they're
that,
still exotic animals at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we faxed his hospital room saying, you know, hopefully this incident will make you reflect on the fact that these animals, as much as you profess to love them, really don't belong on the stage or in the circus, things like that. And, you know, some people said that was insensitive, but a lot of other people said, you know what, this is what the issue is all about, and we had to call attention to it somehow.
Sure. And I guess something you touched on a moment ago, too, in terms of just getting that message out and being a pressure group relative to maybe some other animal rights groups. I mean, how would you sort of view PETA's place within the world of animal rights? I mean, as an example, just kind of as an observer trying to learn, soak up as much as possible, I went to this the animal rights conference in August, I guess it was, in L.A., and I found it interesting that, at least as far as I could tell, I didn't see any PETA presence, and again, maybe I just missed it, but I would have thought if it was there, it certainly would have been.
Yeah, we had some people there.
Okay, but I didn't really see, I guess, anything, you know, evident, and I just didn't know along those lines. It just seemed like there were some, you know, some seminars, conversations, informally, otherwise, where I just wasn't sure how other animal groups, if they've sort of, you know, are sort of disinclined, I guess, to engage in those kind of tactics, but also maybe to support them or.
Well,
or
we're the most influential animal rights group, and we're also the most embarrassing because of the things we do to attract attention to the issues. And so
sure.
We certainly don't blame other animal groups who want to do things in a different way or who may be a little floored by some of our tactics. But that's fine, and the movement has all extremes, and
sure.
I think that we won't win by any one way. But our issues are issues that we want to bring more to the public, and we have the support of many animal groups, and I would say probably most animal groups. But our real battle is to get the issues to the public, not to be so much... I mean, we have a lot of activists. We have about 700,000 members, many of whom are activists.
Sure.
But our main focus is not to make animal people happy, but to get the public talking about animal rights issues.
And I guess with that in mind, if you had to, if you had to choose just one, which I'm sure isn't really a fair question, but just one cause or campaign currently, let's say, is the most significant, most worthy of PETA's might and machinery, what would that be if you had to be pinned down to one?
Definitely our campaign against Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Birds were exempt from the Humane Slaughter Act when they passed the Humane Slaughter Act back in the 60s. Because the poultry farmers thought, you know what, we don't want to have to cut corners. We want to be able to make as much money out of these birds as possible. If it means we have to put them 5 to a cage, if it means we have to stick red contact lenses in their eyes so they lay more, if they think just the whole poultry industry is one of the most vile, cruel industries on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen for decades that different animal groups have tried to get different laws changed and different laws amended. And in the end, even if you get a law passed, the industry opposition will prevent it from preventing enforcement from even being funded.
Yeah.
So PETA's whole strategy has been to forget about the laws. The legislative system is so pathetic.
Yeah.
And instead just go to the companies that hold the key to making the change themselves. And so by pressuring Kentucky Fried Chicken, like I say, to upgrade their killing of animals to make their steps more humane, that's a big thing that will affect the biggest amount of animals. Of course, we urge a vegetarian and even vegan diet, but aside from that, there are a lot of steps that these companies can take to make the whole process a little more humane.
Sure, and it sounds like, if I follow you, that the KFC campaign is to sort of almost work backwards. If KFC finally, you know, is affected greatly enough by the pressure, then things, you know, sort of in reverse start
exactly.
to happen. Is that okay?
The yeah. thing is that these, you know, if they can save, you know, a third of a cent a bird by doing something cruel, they'll do it because they have no heart, and
yeah.
it's only through public pressure that they'll change. And that's how we were able to change McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King.
So
and how I'm sure we'll change KFC next.
Right. So something I was going to say, you probably have confidence that however long it takes, the KFC thing is going to have the same.
Definitely.
Same results. Well, cool, Dan. We're just about, I guess, at the end of our time, but I'm just curious, because it sounds like you're still as charged up, passionate, excited, whatever, as you probably were, you know. Well,
oh, it always seems like we're just beginning. I mean, I've been here 18 years, and a lot has happened. And,
yeah.
You know, we've pressured the cosmetics companies, by and large, many of them, to stop testing on animals. We've had a big impact getting people like Calvin Klein to stop doing fur, even seeing new designers like Stella McCartney and Todd Olin, who've come along and ushered in the whole era of non-leather clothing. Things have really evolved a lot in the past 20 years, but at the same time, it does feel like we're always just getting started.
For sure. What would you say, given the better part of 20 years you've been in, what's the best part of your job? What do you love most about it?
I have a real sense of justice, so I'm always most happy when we're following
up our
adversaries.
Okay.
And really putting pressure on them to, and embarrassing them in ways that, whether it's at their shareholders meeting or in some other way that they thought that they could escape the wrath and escape the truth behind what they're doing, but seeing that sort of thing exposed and seeing them really sweat,
mm-hmm.
And seeing how that leads to change, I think is always really exciting.
Cool. Any final thought, parting shot for your old friends at KUCI?
Oh boy, I know KUCI has always been a great station. They've always played really great music.
Yeah.
I remember the talk about animal rights, we would play Circle Jerks records and things like that during
yeah.
my last visit there. It shows how long ago that was. But
well, actually related to that, you know, not long ago, or actually a couple months back, I had Greg Ginn on.
Oh, cool, yeah.
It was really, as you may or may not know, really gotten into cat rescue, feral cats, and did, in fact, the way they were able to talk him into doing 2 Black Flag reunion shows was that all the proceeds went to various cat rescue organizations. So,
wow, that's great
yeah,
to know.
So he's really cool, really smart, really into it, and it was a great interview.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You know, the whole punk scene spawned a lot of people like that, and not only hardcore bands, but everybody from, you know, the Pretenders, of course, and
yeah.
the Go-Go's to Devo and the B-52s. It seems like that, you know, every era sort of ushers in different sensibilities, and I think you can still see the imprint of that from even now and on cool kids today having
yeah.
you know, gotten that message.
Absolutely. So we'll just keep plugging away generally here at KCI and, of course, at PETA. And Dan Matthews, thank you very, very much for spending time with us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We want to thank again Dan Matthews for joining us today on Talking Animals. And, again, the PETA website, the award-winning PETA website, is found at PETA.org, very simply. So it's Duncan Strauss's Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI. And I think it's a good time to hear another animal song. And in a nod, really,
to what Dan Matthews mentioned is PETA's primary focus these days, KFC. I thought we'd jump into a Magnetic Fields tune called The Chicken with Its Head Cut Off, of KUCI. And that, as you may have guessed, was A Chicken with Its Head Cut Off by Magnetic Fields, the great, one of the many great, really, I guess I should say, bands fronted, led by the amazing singer-songwriter Stephen Merritt. So that was very cool. I am Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM. In Irvine, K80.9 FM. All right, I got my sequence reversed there. But it's all good, because it wasn't even supposed to be legal then. You know, we're just talking, aren't we? Okay, cool. Now it's time to proceed to something else that's fun here on Talking Animals. It's Name That Animal Tune. And, of course, remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune that you'd care to mention, except that in this case, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a little more indirect than that. Either way, like any version of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while the game hinges on a song being recognizable, of course, otherwise how could you play the game, really, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble dispensed with, but also noting there's always a prize. That's right, there's always a prize. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. So, now, even though I'm not in the studio live at this very moment, I'm very much Memorex, if you do call in with the correct answer now, Serena or whoever, whatever other cool KUCI type is looking after things in my absence, will take your name and info so that I can square up with you on some sort of fabulous prize when I get back to town. So, we definitely want you to get a cool prize if you win Name That Animal Tune. It's only the first one, though. It's only the first caller with the correct answer. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone in at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right? So Let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI.
All right, this next selection is about the dog that left without even leaving a note.
Am I giving away too much already?
The skies are charcoal gray. It's a dreary downtown day. But at the end of my 30-foot leash is my little friend.
Okay, let's not give it away completely. Jeez, what are you, nuts? Anyway, call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, if you can name that tune, name that animal tune more precisely. All right, that's fair enough. That's how the game's played. And we've had a bunch of cool winners who won a bunch of cool prizes. And so I think hopefully there'll be another one today. But I'm Duncan Strauss. We've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show by me, our guests, anyone else, are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I want to thank our guest, Dan Matthews from PETA. Again, the website is simply PETA.org, PETA.org. I also want to thank you all for listening. And next week, I hope you'll join us on Talking Animals when our guest will be some really cool but as yet undetermined person of note in the animal world. And by the way, of course, other great public affairs programming on KUCI include just on Mondays alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And again, that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming like that virtually each weekday here on KUCI, 8 to 9 a.m. and 9 to 10 in the morning. And then again, usually from 5 to 6 in the afternoon, sometimes in addition to that. Check the schedule at KUCI.org. And I want to urge you to check out our nifty website, talkinganimals.net. Please email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. And as always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. And it's Throwing Muses with a cool song called Snake Face. So we recommend you catch the Blues Disease with Jeff Scott, which starts momentarily here on KUCI. Meanwhile, we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals. Thanks again for listening.
One morning I woke up and I knew you belonged. A new day, a new way, and new eyes belong. Go your way, I'll go mine. Get along. The sky. The sun, he come, the world's all around. Rejoice, rejoice, we have no choice but to get along. The fortunes of fables are able. Sing the blues. You got to live for two. Live long. Mm-hmm.
Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott infecting you with the blues disease.